For the next 15 minutes or so, we want to talk about a subject that we live with daily in our lives, and that's communication. Every day in our work and in our family lives, and we communicate one with another. But we as Christians have been given a wonderful avenue of strength and comfort, and that's through prayer. Prayer is our means of communication. God communicates to us through his inspired word. We communicate with him through prayer. In Hebrews 4, verses 13, beginning in verse 13, our hearts, first prayer is a sincere outpouring of our hearts to God, knowing that he hears and answers the prayers of his own. In Hebrews 4, verse 13, he says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all parts tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We always seem to pray when we're in times of distress, but the scriptures plainly talk about this communication with God is a daily thing. It's when you rise in the morning and when you go to sleep at night and all through the day. Prayer is appropriate for every occasion. It's an essential part of our daily lives. Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 17, he said, "Pray without ceasing." He admonished the Colossians in Colossians 4, verse 2, to be fervent in prayer, continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Paul demonstrated what he proclaimed in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. He says, "I thank my God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Paul is praying for the Thessalonians, for their strength and for their courage in serving God. Regular prayer is an identifying mark of a New Testament Christian. Those who were baptized on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." So it was an essential function of the first century church. When Peter was imprisoned, we read in Acts 12, verse 5, "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." So the church was praying for Peter in his time of need. Next, fervent prayer causes anxieties to fade and to flee. In Psalms 55, verse 22, he says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Those burdens that we have in life, we can cast upon the Lord and leave it to him to resolve. In Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, he says, "And nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In nothing be anxious, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known unto God. In 1 Peter 5, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. So we have the assurance in the scriptures that God cares for each and every one of us. and that all the anxieties and the cares of this world we can cast upon God. And he will resolve those issues in our behalf. God answers our prayers. The Bible teaches that God does. In Psalms 34, verse 15 through 19, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 12, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If we go back at James 5, in verse 16, we can see Elijah's example proves that the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish. In James 5, verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. There are certain principles of what God considers an acceptable prayer. First, you have to ask. God knows our every need, but asking is an acknowledgement of his sovereignty and demonstrates our faith in him as our provider and protector. In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, he says, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you of whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, excuse me, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Second, we should ask according to his will. In 1 John 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we desired of him. Third, we need to ask in the name of Christ. This involves understanding our relationship with the Redeemer. We approach the Father through Jesus Christ, our mediator and our intercessor, respecting his absolute authority. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator, also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And in John 15, verse 16, if you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Fourth, we should ask in faith. We must have faith in God, his word, his power, and his providence. In James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Fifth, we should ask with thankfulness. We must ask with a heart filled with thankfulness. No occasion is so dark and desperate that we cannot give thanks. We can be thankful despite adverse circumstances. In Philippians 4, verse 6, he says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Sixth, we should ask with a patient attitude. In his time, our Heavenly Father blesses his children. You turn with me to 2 Corinthians verse 12, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." This is Paul talking. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Next, we live according to his word. We must live according to God's will and word, and obedience is essential. In 1 John 3, beginning in verse 21, he said, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Prayer is a part of a Christian's daily life. Living according to God's word, leaning on him for guidance. We implement these principles in our daily lives in harmony with God's word, leaning upon him for that guidance and petitioning him regularly in prayer. We pray to God in a time when he may be found, in Psalms 32, 6. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the songs of deliverance." And in closing, let's turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the things wherein I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We pray for family, we pray for our children, we pray for ourselves, we pray for each other. We pray for the church, that it may be strong and faithful. We pray for our government, that we can be led in those Christian principles in this world. And we pray for each other. Prayer is our communication with the Lord. And we need to think about, if we're not communicating with God, then we're not asking. Where is our relationship with the Lord? We should be in a daily communication with God. He should know our thoughts, should know our needs, and we should be thankful for the blessings that we receive in this life. And we should communicate that to our Savior. If you are a Christian, God will hear your prayers. If you're not, you need to think about the relationship that we have with our Savior and the communications that we do have. You need to think about turning your life around and becoming a faithful Christian. If there are any that need the prayers of the church, then we'd ask as you come, as we stand and sing at this time.